An hour later, they all sat on lumpy motel beds, while Sun Jung hooked a portable DVD player to the television set in the room. They were in a crappy motel room in Shoshone, Arizona, 20 miles north of Flagstaff. On the screen, Evans once again saw Henley talking to Drake. "I've listened to you before," Drake said resentfully. "And it didn't work." "Think structurally," Henley answered. He was leaning back in his chair, staring up at the ceiling, fingertips tented. "What the hell does that mean?" Drake said. "Think structurally, Nicholas. In terms of how information functions, what it holds up, what holds it up." "This is just PR bullshit." "Nicholas," Henley said sharply, "I am trying to help you." "Sorry." Drake looked chastened. He hung his head a little. Watching the screen, Evans said, "Does it look like Henley is in charge here?"
"He's always been in charge," Kenner said. "Didn't you know that?"
On the screen, Henley was saying, "Let me explain how you are going to solve your problem, Nicholas. The solution is simple. You have already told me that global warming is unsatisfactory because whenever there is a cold snap, people forget about it."
"Yes, I told you."
"So, what you need," Henley said, "is to structure the information so that whatever kind of weather occurs, it always confirms your message. That's the virtue of shifting the focus to abrupt climate change. It enables you to use everything that happens. There will always be floods and freezing storms and cyclones and hurricanes. These events will always get headlines and airtime, and in every instance, you can claim it is an example of abrupt climate change caused by global warming. So the message gets reinforced. The urgency is increased."
"I don't know," Drake said doubtfully. "That's been tried the last couple of years."
"Yes, on a scattered, individual basis. Isolated politicians making claims about isolated storms or floods. Clinton did it. Gore did it. That blithering science minister in England did it. But we're not talking about isolated politicians, Nicholas. We are talking about an organized campaign throughout the world to make people understand that global warming is responsible for abrupt and extreme weather events."
Drake was shaking his head. "You know," he said, "how many studies show no increase in extreme weather events?"
"Please," Henley snorted. "Disinformation from skeptics."
"That's hard to sell. There are too many studies."
"What are you talking about, Nicholas? It's a snap to sell. The public already believes that industry is behind any contrary view."
He sighed. "In any case, I promise you, there will soon be more computer models showing that extreme weather is increasing. The scientists will get behind this and deliver what is needed. You know that."
Drake paced. He looked unhappy.
"But it just doesn't make sense," he said. "It's not logical to say that freezing weather is caused by global warming."
"What's logic got to do with it?" Henley said. "All we need is for the media to report it. After all, most Americans believe that crime in their country is increasing, when it has actually been declining for 12 years. The U.S. murder rate is as low as it was in the early 1970s, but Americans are more frightened than ever, because so much more airtime is devoted to crime. They naturally assume there is more in real life, too." Henley sat up in his chair.
"Think about what I am saying to you, Nicholas. A 12-year trend, and they still don't believe it. There is no greater proof that all reality is media reality."